man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face?
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our segment with Mark Grody is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. This segment with Mark Grody is also brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. It's not a game, Illinois.com. Groats, a lot of injuries for the Bears as they walk into this game with the New England Patriots.
Yeah, starting with the offensive line and big problems there. I was, I guess, just sort of hope trafficking when I said earlier this week that I would expect one of those two tackles to play this week. Neither of the Bears' tackles are going to be playing this week against the New England Patriots. Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright both out with knee injuries. Jaquan Brisker remains out with the concussion. Karan Amagaji, calf injury, he's out. So you could say your three most important tackles are out for this game. Practicing in full today were Ryan Bates, Kyler Gordon, Montez Sweat, and Smitty. Terrell Smith practice in full. So those guys will all be back. We'll see Kyler Gordon out there. We'll see Montez Sweat out there. But the big question now is who is going to play the tackle positions? And Matt Eberflus began his press conference today essentially, you know, saying here's the news that those two won't play. He said that he will not reveal who the two tackles will be. I did ask Matt Eberflus, hey, at least who are the candidates that may be out there? He did mention Larry, who is Larry Borm. I would expect that he would play left tackle. Then as far as the right tackle is concerned, the only name he mentioned after my question was Jake Curhan, who we saw play some last week. He did not say that that's who it's going to be. You know, could Matt Pryor is a possibility there as well. But I will say this, a couple of things. Had a great little huddle up today with our guys from CHGO, Nick Moriano and Mark Carmen, and we're trying to figure this out because we're all taking shots at what it is. And Moriano had the good numbers out that in preseason this year, Jake Curhan had 150 snaps at right tackle, while Matt Pryor had just 8 snaps at the position. In their lives, both have had around the same snaps, around 650 snaps at the position. So here's my best guess, guys, for what's going to happen on the offensive line this week. I do think it'll be Larry Borum at left tackle. Tevin Jenkins is healthy. He practiced in full today, by the way, as well. He'll be your left guard. I would be shocked if they did anything with Coleman Shelton. Will be your center. That brings us to right guard. I think there very well could be a rotation at the right guard spot with, drumroll please, Nate Davis and Ryan Bates. Can't rule out Doug Kramer as a possibility there as well. And then I do think, based on the numbers that I was just giving, I think Jake Curhan will be your starter at right tackle.
Wow, so Matt Pryor to the bench, to a flat-out bench, in part because Ryan Bates is ready to go and they bring Nate Davis back. This is fascinating. I'm going to go ahead and say that Pryor is not the tackle. I think you're right. I think those numbers are good. The fact that Eberflus brought him up and the fact that the way they feel, I think Curran is going to be your right tackle. But I'd be surprised to see Pryor just flat out benched. But that's fascinating. Lawrence, you got a bet on how this is going to play out? Is Grody on it?
I think Grody's on it. I just wanted to follow up and say, how scary is it for them that they have to do this level of scrambling before game?
I mean, it's frightening, and I guess without being too hyperbolous, thank God it's New England. Thank God you're at home where you've had so much success this year. So if there ever was a situation like to happen, can you imagine if this was going down in some of their more real games? What if this was last week? I mean, it would have been a really bad result and not just 29-9 against Arizona last week. So I guess that's the best way to put it. Let me play a little bit of Matt Eberflus for you guys, the Bears head coach, on the effect of your starting tackles both being out.
Does it change the play calling majorly on offense? I know you're not giving anything away, but do you think you guys will operate similar to how you've gone so far?
No, we've made adjustments. We've made adjustments, and again, when you have a couple weeks where you don't play as well as you want to, of course you're always looking to adjust and you evaluate where you need to get better. And we've made some adjustments, and we're looking forward to seeing those in the game.
I'm saying specifically to the tackle situation. Can you still, no matter who's playing there?
Yeah. I think you lean on what guys do well, and that's at every position. So, you know, if a guy does things well, let's do that. You know, if a guy is a different type of player and doesn't do the other things well, let's stick to the stuff they do well. So, and that's for any position. That's for corner, any skill set on offense, you know, anybody. So you got to really adjust as you go to curtail it to the skill.
There's plenty of Matt Eberflus's patented brand of nothing in there, but
and
there's
globalization.
Oh God, yeah. But a couple things. First of all, he says "Evy" like David Schuster says "Evy."
I thought the same thing.
I don't think I ever caught that before, Groats.
I see it every time. Every time it's the same thing.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly. So there's that. But I wonder what the adjustments are. I wonder what the adjustments are. Does that mean more running inside as opposed to asking the tackles to do a lot outside? Because they want their tackles to be nimble and to be able to get on the move. It's what they love about Amagaji. It's what they love about Braxton Jones. And I'm sure they don't love it as much about Larry Borum for that. So I wonder what the adjustments are, Groats.
I think it's running the ball in general. I think that that's what Matt Eberflus said. And you go back to the Monday press conference when I asked Matt Eberflus about how do you make, like, what's going on with Caleb Williams. And he brought up need to run the ball more. I mean, it was very subtle. It was actually pretty sneaky Flus on that one. But need to run the ball more. So something tells me that Matt Eberflus probably got into some of those offensive meetings with Shane Waldron or had one-on-one with him and said, hey, we need to run the ball. Now, that's become a lot more easy to say. Now, with your two starting tackles out, you must simplify things. I mean, it's just a fact, whether you want it or not, simplify things, shorter pass, not just DeAndre Swift as a running back, but as a pass catcher. Cole Kmet, obviously, is a pass catcher. Gerald Everett even should get into the pass-catching game. Shorter routes for the wide receivers, for better or for worse, because you can't count on the time. Caleb Williams probably, I mean, in theory, is not going to have as much time to get those guys open down the field. So it brings everything in just a little bit closer. One other, you know, sort of other side of this thing, too, is for Caleb Williams. And I know, look, Caleb Williams has struggled, and he is just a rookie and all of that. But sometimes I think in my head that for a game like this, where it might be a bit of a free-for-all on the offensive line, this is a chance for Caleb Williams to do what he does best or did best in college, and that is to improvise and to make plays happen. I know that doesn't feel like such a safe thing considering he is still developing, but he may be if any quarterback would be suited to play in that style, it's Caleb Williams.
Well, I hate it as a strategy, Groats. I'm not going to lie to you. What I would prefer that the Bears do is line up, have Everett out there, have Mercedes out there, have Doug Kramer out there. As far as I'm concerned, I want to see them just say, screw it.
Unbalanced line, load it up and run.
13 personnel, let's go. Uh-huh. And because this team can't stop the run. Don't give them any hope because – like just stay committed to it, and I'm terrified that the Bears are going to be too smart by half.
Well, that's clearly what Waldron has often shown us. Mercedes, I'm worried about Mercedes, man. All the false starts, the slowness that's out there, and his defeated tone in the one-on-one with Chris Emma that we played yesterday.
Sad,
I'm worried about
Mercedes.
Wasn't it? That was sad, man.
Was hey,
sad.
Look, never, ever worry about Mercedes Lewis. This is a 40-year-old man who's in an NFL locker room making pretty good money for a 40-year-old in an NFL locker room
at this
point.
He's a man. He's 40.
He's got outside business ventures. This is a smart guy who knows he doesn't have to be playing football at this point, but he wants to be in there. So it's one of the, like, don't feel bad for Mercedes Lewis. He's going to be just fine, Speaks.
I'm worried about him. I don't feel bad for him. I think he knows he doesn't need to do this.
Right.
To your
don't
point.
Where, yeah.
Does, yeah, but those game checks be hitting right.
They be hitting right. That is exactly right, Lawrence. Why don't we look at the bit? We're talking about the fact that the Bears defense, they have had trouble defending the rush this year. It's been a thing for the Bears. You know, the 241 yards last week, or, sorry, 213 yards against them against Arizona. We've seen big explosive runs against the Bears defense this year, and I thought Matt Eberflus was pretty harsh as far as Flus goes when it gets to talking about that.
If you have any level of concern about that, that even, you know, not getting too comfortable with just because they've been good so far, that it might be something to shore up there.
Yeah, and I said that all the way back in training camp, right? It's a prove it league. You got to prove it. You know, all this talk about being top five and all those things that's great talk, but it's what you do on the grass, and it's how you perform every single week. And we've had some plays, some, you know, chunk plays that put the yards up. So we just got to be more consistent. We've got to be more consistent, and the guys have worked their tail off in terms of that, in terms of the run game this week, and they're excited about this performance coming up.
Yeah, man, like, it's no problem to say when your team's been bad. They will respect it when you say that they've been bad when they actually have been bad. And Eberflus has long been too cautious about calling it out like he sees it. You know, there's so many coaches we could play, whether it's Mike Tomlin, whether, you know,
Dan Campbell,
Dan Quinn. I mean, hell, just like a million coaches across sports. It's okay to say it. The team respects you when you say the truth, Groats.
Yeah, and he's got some ownership in that group. I mean, he is the play caller and, you know, probably to a large degree the defensive coordinator, with all due respect to Eric Washington and what he has done with his team. And I remember it. Look, I want the Bears to be a top five defense. I have, you know, brought up statistics a few weeks ago about them popping up in the top five in certain categories. But I remember during training camp, every time we brought that up to Matt Eberflus, he kind of rolled his eyes. Like, we haven't proved anything. We have, you know, enough with the top five talk. And unprompted, Matt Eberflus brought it up right there. So he knows it's got to be better. And I said this a couple times. I can't imagine what that film session was like. I mean, giving up big rush yards insults the sensibilities of any good play caller or defensive coordinator, and that's probably what happened this week here at the Hall.
Groats, I didn't expect Tyrique Stevenson to play as much as he did last week, and it seems like the Bears didn't either, but they had to because of injuries. Is he a starter again?
Well, I'll tell you what, Lawrence, I saw him in the locker room today. I wasn't sure how much Tyrique Stevenson would be talking to the media this week, just based on essentially getting burned by the media, social media, but he burned himself. But I talked to him by his locker today for about a minute 30, and he will answer that exact question you just asked me, Lawrence, about whether or not he is starting. Take a listen to this, guys.
Relative to last week, how do you feel going into this week? Does everything feel normal again for you after all the chaos?
Everything felt normal, even last week. I would say just the noise and everything like that, but that's never bothered me. You know, I never listened to the opinions on ESPN or anything like that. I hardly watch it. But, no, my game is my game. I made one mistake. You know, is it end of the world? I don't think so. You know, it's a football game. All the guys in this building respect me for my play and how I carry myself. So last week, when a bunch of noise, I looked at a game plan, understand I wasn't starting, and still want to go out there and be the best teammate. And this week is no different. I want to go out there and put myself in the best position to help this team win.
Most people can't avoid all that stuff because it's everywhere. How do you have that mentality? Where did that come from?
I actually was looking at it. Like, I was reading the comments and everything. Yeah, like, that it doesn't bother me because most of the time, these people don't know me, and they don't know my character. And if they're going to use one mistake to judge me and attack me emotionally, I can't blame them. You know, that's their job. But at the end of the day, I seen most of it. I wasn't not running away from it, but I could just use this as a learning curve. And if people feel like this is the end of me, then that's for them. But I know that's not the end of me, and the guys on this team know I got a whole lot more season left.
Did you respond to any of the stuff?
No, there's no reason to, because at the end of the day, in the public eye, in that situation, I'm wrong. So there's no point in me trying to defend myself. All I could do was apologize to this team and for letting them down, and just promise that I'm always be on top of my details 100 times more than what I am now, and that'll never happen again.
Last thing, back in there, you're starting opposite of Jalen Johnson, yes?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I like where he ended up on all of this, and it speaks. Remember what I was telling you a couple weeks ago about how I had talked with a team executive, a high-ranking team executive that's so worried that players immediately after a game are going to social,
yep,
and that they're trying to fight the war of them focusing on the corrections that the coaches want them to make versus what the public may want them to make. Tyreek is what he just said there is an example of exactly what that executive is terrified of,
and
they are living their life online and what it might do to them from an emotional standpoint.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because he started by saying he doesn't pay it any attention, and then your follow-up, Groats, got him to say that he watched all of it.
He's like, oh, I watched it all. I was out here looking at everything.
And then at the end, yeah, he got to a place of like, in the end,
I have no defense.
I was wrong. All I can do is apologize to my team. So that did sound like true ownership of the mistake. It's got to be hard, man. It's hard on our level, Groats.
Yes,
it's hard on our level as mildly public people to decide whether to read or not, to decide whether to engage or not. It's got to be so incredibly hard for these young men.
It's why when. If I was asked for an opinion on should Tyreek Stevenson be, you know, punished for this, I said he's taken enough punishment. Like, just being embarrassed by the whole thing, and then the crushing he was taking on social media. Like, I was like, people underestimate how real that is, you know, having to apologize to his teammates. That apologizing on Twitter, in this world, for me, that was enough of a punishment. But, hey, if the players, and there probably were players in that locker room who thought that he should be punished, and he was, so I totally respect that he didn't start the game last week. But the whole conversation we're having right now is exactly why I thought he was punished enough.
Well, either way, and I was, you know, I disagreed with you on that, but anyway, here we are. It's a pivotal moment for the young man, because what he can't do is not play with the energy and the swagger that has made him great. You know, you have to reclaim that. And I said it earlier in the week, I saw a much more subdued version of him against Arizona, energy-wise, and I hope that he is back to his energetic, fully confident self.
Well, I think eventually you're going to be who you are until I think we get a little bit older. Then I think like real changes can happen. I just hope that the extreme part of Tyreek Stevenson doesn't return that error, because he's done some things that have not been good on this team, that have been outside of the box, some bad penalties that he has taken this year, but that one was like 10 times worse than anything else. So I'm not going to sit here and say I expect Tyreek Stevenson to be perfect. That's the guy you drafted. That was the opportunity cost of him in the second round and being a starting cornerback in the NFL right from the beginning. So I think it's a little bit naive to think that Tyreek Stevenson is just going to be perfect and we're not going to see some sort of thing like, you know, not like that, but just something Tyreek Stevenson-ish happen again. I think you should expect it, and it's just that's who he is for right now. And you're right. I mean, like, I don't want that taken out of him either, because it does often lead to the player that he is. So I think that it's kind of complicated, actually.
Okay, so let's go back to the offensive line. There could be a lot of guys in a lot of different places, or new guys or old guys that are back in different spots. When you were talking to people up there about the offensive line, what did you learn?
Well, one of the guys that we got to talk to today was Ryan Bates, who was just activated from the injured list. And, man, this, you talk about the emotional side of being an athlete, and you guys both know this. Certain athletes don't handle being away from the team well. They don't handle well not playing, and I think that was the case with Ryan Bates. Some real talk from Ryan Bates. I'll just enter this cut by saying he hated being in rehab and not playing because of his shoulder.
It's been a lot of repetition in terms of, like, every day feels like Groundhog Day because it's the same, a lot of the same stuff I'm doing over and over again in terms of strengthening my shoulder, strengthening my elbow, kind of getting that strength back. I feel great right now. PT and our trainers are doing a great job with me. I'm back.
How frustrating has it been for you having to go through all this as a job?
It's been frustrating for me. You know, this is kind of the first time where I've been in this situation where I've been on IR. It's my first time on IR. First time having an injury that kind of takes me out of multiple games. So it was a learning experience for me in terms of kind of channeling my mentals and kind of getting in the right mindset. Because early I was in a bad headspace. I just wanted to be out there. I wanted to be playing with the boys. You know how it is.
You would condition to play every snap if need be, play an entire game?
I wouldn't be playing if I wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how itchy are you to get out there and just play, considering all that you've been through?
I've been itching the past, since I got on IR, I've been itching. Yeah, I'm ready to get back out there, you know, with the boys and playing some ball.
For a few weeks, it seemed like the shoulder was something you'd be able to work through.
Mm-hmm.
When did you kind of find out this is something I got to just shut down? What was it like to kind of get that word?
When I initially got on IR, you saying?
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, I was fortunate where Poles gave me an opportunity to get 100% healthy instead of coming back, hurting it again, making it worse, taking a week off, coming back again, hurting it again. So it was, he helped me out in terms of putting me on IR and me giving me an opportunity to strengthening those muscles in my shoulder that I need and strengthening my elbow and doing what I need to do in order to be back on the field at 100%.
That's good real stuff from Ryan Bates.
I'm glad that you shared that.
Thanks, Groats. I mean, a little window into what life is like as a person as you're dealing with that. They love him, man. They have been trying to get him, you know, for what, 2.5 years now? And it's interesting that he says he's in shape to play every snap. Whatever.
He's not.
But whatever iterations we've been talking about and the predictions we made at the beginning, as soon as that dude is healthy enough to play, he's going to play.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward.
It's my guess because of Poles and the way they feel about him.
You're right. And, Ryan Poles, we know, tried to get him twice and finally did get him on this roster. I do like the way Poles has handled this, too, because that's real stuff, man. Like, you can give a guy a pain shot. You can get a guy out there game to game, miss a game here, miss a game there. They did what they had to do to get this guy right. And, yes, he's been wanting to get out there. And, Lawrence, you are right, too. It's totally and completely unrealistic to think that he's going to take a full boat of snaps at this point, having not played as long as he has. But, again, I am hoping, guessing, that he does get some snaps out there. But we shall see very soon. May I just say, too, guys, I want to say this during this whole Bears report. You guys just look so comfortable, man. You guys got a couch out there in Vegas. Look at that. That is, I see Shane hanging out. What a beautiful setup for you guys out there in Las Vegas. I'm a little bit jelly.
Well, we finally figured out how to block the sun. So that was
helpful.
Oh,
were we having some issues?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because we're in direct. We're facing south, so we're in direct sunlight.
Has Shane been spraying you guys down? Does he have a little water bottle out there just spritzing you guys gently?
No. He told us it was water, but I'm not exactly sure.
No, Shane's just been like, hey, I got you guys. Let's get some drinks going. He's been doing the job of trying to take care of us out here, making sure we have electrolytes and all that other stuff.
Oh, yeah. So sounds like fun. I love hearing the music in the background. It's great. It's great.
Yeah. You should be out here, Groats. You should be hanging. There's a spot right here in the middle. You can put my laptop on your lap where it belongs.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Hey. I mean, it would have been really difficult to get into the Bears locker room today, you know. But, I mean, I like being where I am right now, but you guys do look like you're enjoying yourself. The Bears guys have – it bears repeating – they have won 8 in a row at Soldier Field. I mean, God, I hope they use Soldier Field to the best of their abilities. 9 straight at home, in home games, if you count London. And finally, too, I'm always scouring rosters for guys that are, you know, close to home. New England offensive lineman Vidarian Lowe grew up in Rockford. 5.5 Bears. 5.5 Bears just for that.
That's impressive for a guy on the opposition to get that many Bears.
I mean,
we haven't talked about it a lot, Groats, but did anyone up there talk about the fact that it's been a month since the Bears have played at Soldier Field?
I don't remember if that came up this week.
Because that's
a long
time to be away from your actual home field.
It is a long time to be away. I'm positive it's a bit of a relief for these guys, even though, I mean, there's a lot of guys in the NFL who do enjoy, you know, road trips are not exactly arduous in the NFL because they're so quick, and there is something to getting away from everybody. But I think that the way they play at home, these guys will be looking very forward to being back on the Soldier Field turf.
Any nuggets we missed, Groats, before we let you go?
No, those two I gave you right there, that was it, man. I think we covered it all during the Bears report.
Said it all.
I said it all.
You're the man.
You've said it all.
Bears.
Bye,
thanks,
guys.
Mark.
Bears. Yep.
Bars.
See ya.
When we come back.
Yeah. You're going to step into the role of trying to scare me again, aren't you?
No, I. This is just something that we can continue to monitor and talk about as a show. I got some Caleb numbers for you that I want to just see how you react to them.
Are you going
to
make a pick this week?
No.
No?
No.
Ray, you want to make a pick? Ray the engineer, you want to make a pick?
No, he's getting ready for the Golden Knights game.
He's almost done with his Coke Zero.
No, he's never done with his Coke Zero.
I don't follow the NFL.
Yeah, no, we don't care. I was using you as a bit. I'm sorry.
He doesn't know that.
But I will give you $20 to ride along your thing.
All right, baby, let's go. So, that puts us at $300 right now. $300 total.
What? Give that to charity.
Yeah, Chuck, from the mob. It is charity. For
yes,
us coming back.
For the casino. Right. We'll be back after this, and you will get some of those Caleb numbers your way next. Spiegel and Holmes on the Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, baby.
Afternoons on the Score.
I couldn't wait to get my hands on Vegas. But the bosses didn't send me out there to have a good time.
Welcome to Vegas.
We're back with more of the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Live from Stadium Swim inside Circa Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Keep listening for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Football After Dark at Gale Street Inn on Tuesday, November 12th, hosted by our good friend Layla Rahimi with special guest Jalen Johnson.
Woo!
Enjoy delicious food and drinks while Jalen and Layla go hard in the paint with analysis on Chicago's football team. This event is proudly sponsored by TimberTech Decking and Railing and AARP. The younger you are, the more you need AARP. When you hear this drop,
where am I going to be at? What are we doing? Who I'm meeting with?
We will need you to call 312-540-0670.
Otherwise, he was on it. He's totally and utterly on it.
I mean, he didn't know. Like, it's look, I did a bad job of introducing myself to Jalen on Sunday. We have now rectified that, which is good. He's going to have such a good time with Layla. It's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's going to be great fun. It reminds me of the stuff we used to do that you often used to host in the evenings.
The Top Draft Show.
Top Draft Show with Lance Briggs. Who else? Peanut used to do those from time to time.
Yeah. Why am I blanking?
Dez Clark.
Dez Clark was always great at those. Actually, yeah, Dez Clark, he's the one who coined Hater Wednesday, right, Danny?
Yeah, that sounds right. Don't forget about your other favorite tight end we used to do shows with, Kellen Davis.
He would never pay. He'd never tip. He would just bounce. He wouldn't even give us the opportunity to be like, no, Kellen, we got it. He just bounced.
Yeah, oh, man.
That's not what happens with, like, any of the other guys. Like, Boogie would be like, oh, I'll leave a tip or something.
We had Adewale out there a few times. Who? I remember we did those.
Why am I blanking on his name? Who's the guy that tore his ACL celebrating?
Lamar Houston.
Lamar Houston.
We had a couple shows with Lamar that were crazy. And, of course, Martellus.
Martellus was unbelievable. And you guys had a connection on the comic books and such, which was real.
Well, it was rough, though, because the other guys are like, look, let's do a little bit of non-football and a little bit of football.
And he just wanted to do a little football, tiny little bit?
He didn't want to do any football. And so, like, trying to get him to do football was one of the greatest challenges of my career.
Let me say that a lot has been made of the history that obviously me, Shane, and Tanny have in recent years. But you and Tanny doing that night show together, man.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's some deep score history that's not even that long ago.
Yeah, I'm so proud of him. Like, seeing – I always get excited when everyone graduates. Like, when everyone graduated off the nighttime show – and they went on to do, like, awesome things. It's a good list.
And I can't believe it's, like, taken me this long. Like, we're thrilled to have Lawrence on the afternoons now. But, like, I could not believe it took this long for us to finally come back together again. But I learned so much about how to produce shows by being on Lawrence's show at night. You talk about giving a producer ownership to do whatever they wanted. That's what Lawrence gave to all of us on the nighttime show. So anything that you hear me do now is like sort of colored by what we were doing way back when, you know? So
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. But
oh, yeah.
That's the studio audience for That's Montez.
See, that's the type of stuff someone on Shane's tree would do. You know what I mean?
Well, the just tree. Hate,
just, you know, stuff like that. No, low man, brow.
I approve.
When people on my tree leave, you don't see them here anymore.
No, but that's how my tree is. I want I kick them all out of the house. Like that. That's like a rule, or at least it used to be on the nighttime show. When it's time for you to go, I will tell you.
Yeah.
Like, I have no problem. Like, ask Tony. Ask Herbie. Ask them about what those conversations with me were like when other opportunities came up. Like, you better take that money.
Yeah.
You better get up out of here.
Yeah, I've had people who told me to leave, but it wasn't really in the same
spirit. No. That's a very different thing that happened with you.
Yo, that's right. You sing. Go sing. Go do that.
You enjoy singing,
you
don't,
enjoy
you?
That.
Don't you? And you're like, I enjoy it, but, you know.
It's all right. All right, so you had Caleb numbers for me. I know he's like, I believe he's 24th in the NFL in quarterback rating. That's a very basic one, though. I assume you're going a little deeper than that.
Well, yes.
Okay.
So Kevin Fishbane does a great job. You can hear him on middays, Fridays at noon.
Mm-hmm.
According to True Media.
From The Athletic.
According to True Media, on throws that traveled at least 20 air yards.
Uh-huh.
Caleb Williams is 9 for 39, 23.1%, for 297 yards with 2 touchdowns and 4 interceptions.
Wow.
His passer rating on deep balls is 36.3.
Oh, my goodness.
Which ranks 34th out of 35 qualifying quarterbacks ahead of only...
Take a guess on who's
the only quarterback that is worse than Caleb Williams at throwing the deep ball.
Oh, God. This should be fun.
Is it Justin?
No.
Justin's actually done all right this year.
Pretty good on that. Will Levis.
No. But you're in the ballpark.
Drake May?
No. You're still in the ballpark. By the way, a couple of deep throws that Drake May has made over the last couple of weeks.
Have been really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good. Bryce Young.
Very good. Bryce Young is the only person behind Caleb Williams in that category.
Last two number one overalls.
Caleb Williams' expected points added per pass is minus .49. He is second to last in the NFL in that category as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who is he ahead of? And it's not Bryce Young.
Expected points added. Bad quarterbacking. Daniel Jones.
No. Shane, you want to take a guess?
Will Levis?
It's a great guess, but no. Tanny?
I'm just going to go Drake May again. I'm going to keep saying Drake May.
Right team.
Jacoby Brissett?
Jacoby Brissett.
Wow.
Shane, that is the right.
Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Lawrence.
Sorry.
Appreciate that.
I was just reading.
Good vibes on a Friday.
Yeah, you're driving home on a Friday. You're pumped for that Bears game. You're probably going, you know. I got
hell
tickets.
Yeah,
I haven't been able to see my Bears in a month. Let's see what the guys are talking about. Oh, God.
Yeah. Hey, get in that left lane and steer right into oncoming traffic.
No, don't do that.
Plus, there's a median there anyway. It's not worth it.
No. Definitely don't do that. But, yeah.
Get off the bus running. Get off the bus and walk right in front of it.
I hope that the Bears get off the bus running.
Yeah.
Like, truly. I hope that's what they do.
We're going to be here together.
I'm terrified that they're not going to.
They never do the thing they're supposed to do.
That's accurate.
And that's why they're going to sweep the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
I think you got me.
Yeah. All right. Look, we got to talk about the twist. The twist.
It's a dance sweeping the nation.
Yeah, right.
Twist.
Come on, baby. And I've done it in advance of the activity here tomorrow night. So I want to talk about that, and I want to take one last shot at seeing if Lawrence will let me go hiking with him tomorrow. We'll do that next on Spiegel & Holmes on 670 The Score.
Where am I going to be at? What are we doing? Who I meeting with?
Spiegel & Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
All right, see, this guitar riff, it's undeniable. Joe Walsh was messing around at a sound check, started playing this, and they're like, all right, that should be a song. And you got Life in the Fast Lane by the Eagles. It's Spiegel and Holmes on the Score. Hey, Lawrence. Hey, Shane. Hey, Tanny. You ever have a band that you hated for, like, a long time on principle, and then you eventually were like, oh, yeah, that's right. The songs are really good. I'm an idiot. Like, I hated the Eagles because there was a music snob thing. The Steely Dan had a line about them, like, turn up the Eagles, the neighbors are listening, about like, oh, you know.
They're
like,
popular.
They're popular, and it's like just cool to hate the Eagles. And then, of course, there's the Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Like the dude.
I bleep and hate the Eagles,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, man.
Jesus. Man, could you change the channel? I had a rough night, and I hate the f***ing Eagles, man.
So, and it was a thing. And there was also, I saw this great documentary called From the Birds to the Eagles, and it was how, like, the Eagles were, like, a perversion of this beautiful Laurel Canyon hippie scene because they turned it into a monetized rock and roll. Like, all this stuff. And so I was like, intellectually, man, screw that. And then Tributosaurus did the Eagles, and I lived inside the songs for, like, a month, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this stuff is great. It's like, and I just had to freaking relax and get over it. And now I'm so excited to go see them. Get over it, as a matter of fact.
Oh, well, so excited
to go see them tomorrow night at the Sphere.
I think the performer for me that is that, and now, like, in retrospect,
yeah,
I have so much respect for their career. Like, at the time, I hated this performer. And then, like, as I've gotten older and smarter, and then you realize, like, what that person did for the genre, Hammer.
Hammer!
Hammer was that for
sure, because you could just laugh at Hammer and dismiss it for a while.
I'm very, like, East Coast boom bap, like, biased. And, you know, like, a lot of those guys were not fans of what Hammer was doing. But then, like, you really start to think about, like, the performance aspect of what it was that he was doing on stage. And then you find out, like, one of the things the East Coast dudes got way wrong about Hammer is that they thought because Hammer danced, he was soft. Hammer's one of the biggest gangsters out here. And I remember when people were talking about, you know, Tupac passing, he and Pac were, like, really close. And a lot of people were like, nah, Hammer was driving around the hospital waiting for anyone who was trying to come and finish the job.
Yeah, I never knew of this level of cred, of no, cred for Hammer.
Hammer's that dude. Real right. talk.
All right. Guys, got anybody that you hated for a long time?
And then Drake.
Drake.
Drake. Can't stand Drake. Couldn't stand Drake just because he's annoying and everywhere and just make sure that he's seen all the time. And then you listen to his songs and they're
like,
all
they're
so catchy.
Yeah.
They're all so catchy. Mm. He's a theater kid, man. So I think maybe that was part of it. Like,
I mean, so was Tupac.
He tries to come off so hard, but dude, no, Jimmy, you were in a wheelchair, dude. Come on.
Degrassi in the building.
Yeah, Drake for sure.
Probably for me, because, you know, I'm an underground independent hip hop dude, so like I never really got into Pharrell or the Neptunes because, like, when I was really out here DJing, it was the total opposite of the music that we were playing for our crowds, right?
So, and was just, there a little popular pushback for you, too?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it's funny because, like, you know, now that there's separation and now that he's making music in kids' movies and it makes my kid happy, you know, you look at it through a totally different lens and really appreciate the art of, like, someone like Pharrell, you know,
who
hasn't aged in 35 years.
It's remarkable.
It's insane.
And I mean, the level of production that those three guys were doing, like, some of it is just redonkulous.
Yeah. So sometimes the body of work ends up sort of undeniable, and I'm looking forward to being amidst those songs tomorrow after I go on a lovely hike with Lawrence Holmes.
Have fun.
Thank you.
Don't push him.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know I'm going yet.
No, I know you're not going.
Oh, man, you know, guy tried to do a little team bonding.
I don't think you'd come back if you followed Lawrence on your hike. Yeah, there's a lot of holes buried in the desert. There's a lot of problems in those holes.
Well, boys, by the time we get together on Monday, our listeners will have seen the Bears with a get-right win. I think so.
I hope so. I'm very hopeful, but I'm scared. I'm scared they're not going to do the right things.
We'll have pancakes with Patrick on Sunday morning.
I love that. That's my favorite show.
Oatmeal with Olin.
I don't know if he was too keen on that.
No, he really wasn't. He really wasn't.
Yeah.
That's his right.
No, Olin doesn't do bits.
Yeah.
Olin doesn't play games.
He's here
for
football analysis.
Yeah. He really is.
And that's what he's great at. We love him for it. Thanks to everyone involved with the show. Thanks to our engineer, Ray. He's great. We'll see him on Monday. For Shane and Tanny and for my partner, Speaks.
And Jerry.
Out in the desert. And Jerry.
Jerry the mug.
Jerry the mug. I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and appreciation that you show us. We will try to return that in kind Monday at 2 o'clock here on The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.